This portion of our Bible study this morning is on the issue of burial versus cremation. Not what do we think about it, but what does the Bible say? So let's begin by turning to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Genesis 3, verse 19, is the very first reference to what happens to a body that has deceased. So it says in Genesis 3, 19, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." What is the Hebrew word for the ground? Adamah. Adamah. What was the name of the first man? Adam. Because he was taken out of the ground. So the first thing God says is, until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. So turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 15. The Lord is speaking to whom? To Abraham. It says, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." That's Genesis chapter 15, verse 15. Sorry. So God's promise to Abraham, his friend, is that he would be buried at a good old age. To be buried at a good old age is to be very much blessed. We're going to find that to be cremated is to be cursed. To be buried is to be blessed. But let's keep going. Genesis chapter 23, verse 19.
Now, wait a minute. They died.
Let's just keep reading. Let's keep reading. I'm judging nobody. We just want to see what does the Bible say, and then we can discuss. I know. Genesis chapter 23. Verse 19. "And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field in Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan." So Sarah, his beloved wife of so very many years, who gave birth to his son Isaac, the son of the promise, how did he treat her upon her death? He buried her in the cave at Machpelah, which is in Hebron, which is still there today. The sages say, they could be right, they could be wrong, it's not Bible, but that Adam is buried in that same cave, and if that's why he chose that place to bury her. Is it right or wrong? When we get to heaven and watch the videotapes, we'll know.
Okay. So it's Abraham and buried with?
Yeah, there's all kinds of people buried there, yeah. Except for Rachel. Rachel is not buried there. Yep. Leah's buried there. Uh-huh. You're right. Go to Genesis chapter 25, verses 9 to 10. We'll start in verse 8 for context. This is the death of Abraham. "Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age." What do you know? God got another one right. "An old man in full years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite." Do you know what it means in verse 8, he was gathered to his people? Yeah. The way burials were done in Israel is you would take the body and put it in a tomb, until the flesh rotted off the bodies. And then you would take the bones and put them in an ossuary box to bury. And when your son died, they put his bones in your same box. That's being gathered to your fathers. They would put generation after generation in the same ossuary.
They put down, they wait a year, they bury you out of sight in your cave, your family. Then after a year, they come back, your bones, and the other bones, they groom for somebody else.
All right.
So that means you put the bones of the deceased person with the bones of previous
ancestors. Of previous ancestors, that is correct. That's what it means to be gathered to your fathers.
But so, they leave you in the same ossuary. You get your own ossuary, you put it in there.
They would be in the same ossuary,
yeah, yeah.
Generation so after generation.
The grave would be there, then they'd be gathered to the ossuary and gathered to
so that's okay. Why they carry the bones of Joseph.
That's why they carry the bones of Joseph back to the land.
Jacob pulls his feet onto the bed, and passes away at that point. Is there a significance to that statement?
Not that I know of, simply that oftentimes when we die, we do go into a fetal position. But let's go on to Genesis chapter 35. So are the patriarchs cremated or buried?
Buried.
We will eventually come to somebody who's cremated. Genesis chapter 35, verse 19. So Rachel died, Rachel, his most beloved, died, and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. According to the Bible, when do you bury somebody? Before sundown. So he didn't take her to the cave at Machpelah at Hebron. That's 18 miles from Jerusalem. Buried her where she was at. And have you been to see her tomb? It's still there today.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Had he been able to take her to the tomb, would she have been buried with him also?
Yes.
Because she was the second wife, right? Leah was the first wife.
Yeah, the concept of first wife and second wife isn't what you think about it.
No.
The scripture doesn't forbid having more than one wife. But you got to remember, the penalty for bigamy is two mothers-in-law.
Yeah.
God's perfect plan and order is that we have one wife.
Yeah.
But he says, if you take a second wife, you cannot diminish the rights of the first.
The first wife and the first wife's first child was actually your heir.
Correct. Absolutely right. So, who was the man who had the most wives of anybody in the Bible?
Solomon.
What did it do? It led him into idolatry, and his sons lost control of the kingdom. The kingdom split, 10 tribes to the north, 2 to the south. Did bigamy, or should I say, having multiple wives, ever work out for good? No. That's right.
Was he doing that for
He did it to make treaties. He did it to make treaties. He would marry the daughter of a king of some other country. Then they can't attack Israel because they'd be attacking their own daughter. You're exactly right. He did it for treaty making. Yeah. Yeah, let's go on. We were in Genesis chapter 35. We looked at verse
18.
We need to look at verse 8 as well. Now, Deborah, yeah, Genesis 35, verse 8, I need to look at that one too. Now, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel. Bethel means house of God, under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Alon Bachut. But when she died, she was much beloved, so she was buried. Let's go still to Genesis chapter 35 to verse 29. It's time for the death of Isaac. So Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. You now know what that means. Being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. He was buried. Go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, verse 34. We're in the wilderness. People have yielded to craving. We're tired of this manna that you keep giving us. It's the food of angels, and they're whining about it. They want meat. Numbers chapter 11, we'll start in verse 33. The key verse is 34. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. So even those struck down by the Lord in the plague were what?
Buried.
They were buried. They were buried. Go to Numbers chapter 20. We're still just setting up background. Numbers chapter 20. We're in the wilderness. Moses and Aaron had a sister. What was her name? Miriam. Here's the death of Miriam. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. It's Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. So far, of all the patriarchs, how have they all been taken care of once they died? They were buried. So let's keep reading. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 6. But for context, we will start in verse 4. I like to see the context of a verse to make sure it's not taken out of context. In verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your ancestors. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that is the Lord himself, buried him, that is Moses, in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, and no one knows his grave to this day. You want to know a funny story? I've been up there on Beth Peor. The Catholic Church built a church over the site where he was buried. What does the Bible say? No one knows where the grave is. I'm sure I told you before that Constantine's mother was the greatest archaeologist ever, didn't I? Yeah. What's that?
He lived 120 years.
Lived 120 years.
And he wrote over one fifth of the entire Old and New Testament.
Wrote over one fifth of the Old and New Testaments.
Words.
Moses, yep. He's and quoted in the New Testament too, huh?
I've been there 20 times. Yeah.
Excellent. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. First, find Joshua chapter 7. It's verses 19 to 25. I found that if I give the verse too early, people get confused which was the chapter, which was the verse. And yeah. Joshua chapter 7, starting in verse 19. The sin of Achan. Starting in verse 19, it says, now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. What did Achan do? He taken some of the idols of silver and gold. Yeah. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. What had God told the children of Israel particularly not to do?
Take it easy.
Just what he just did. Yeah. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. They were cremated. They were not buried. To be buried is an honor. To be cremated is not. And he was not left with a monument at a burial site for people to come and honor him. Yeah, okay. Yeah, stoning was not what people think of oftentimes. You think of people carrying rocks in their pockets and throwing them at people. You had to bring the charges to a court. The court had to find the person guilty, a judge, a sentence of death. Then they were taken to a high precipice. They were pushed off the precipice, and a boulder was pushed off on top of them. It was only if they did not die from that boulder then that the people threw smaller stones. Yeah. And who had to be the ones to push that big boulder to throw the first stone? The accusers. Yeah. So there we have a cremation. Was it done to honor the person? No, it was not. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Yep. Notice he omitted that detail. Yeah. Joshua 24, verse 33. Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in a hill belonging to Phinehas, his son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. Eleazar was one of the four sons of Aaron, but only two survived when they burned, what is it called? What kind of incense? Profane incense, strange incense before the Lord. How did they die? Do you remember?
Yeah.
What's that? Fire came from the Lord. They were cremated by the Lord. No burial, no honor, no remembrance. Yeah. He wouldn't even allow his father to weep for him. You're absolutely correct.
You ever notice that Aaron was buried, died in the first day of the fifth month, at 123. Moses died the first day of the 11th. And today, 20 years ago, half a year later, he's 120. So he's 2.5 years younger than the Lord is, the first person.
How about that?
And Matthew, 3.5. You know what time that was? 2,500.
Okay, thanks, Gilbert.
John.
No, he was Gilbert.
Okay, how old was Eliezer when they went into the wilderness? Because it seems that all those 20 and older were to die in the wilderness.
So clearly he was under 20.
It had to be.
Yeah, but not necessarily. When it says all those 20 and older, it means all those who are eligible to serve in the army, and the Levites were not eligible. So there is a possibility that he could have been older, and they were simply excluded from that decree, but we don't know that. Yeah, he's talking about Eleazar. Okay. Yeah. Since we're recording it, and I know they can't possibly pick you up, if we could keep the comments just a little shorter. Just for their benefit. Yeah, or louder. That's right. Or louder. Okay. So that was Joshua chapter 24, verse 33. So we've only seen so far three people that were cremated, and they were all cremated by either the Lord himself or the Lord's decree. Let's keep reading. Yep, 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 31, beginning in verse 9.
Sorry.
Okay, no problem. This is the death of Saul and his sons. 1 Samuel 31, beginning verse 9. Saul and his three sons are dead on Mount Gilboa. Had they been found by the Jewish people, they would have buried them there before sundown. It says, and they cut off his head, so you know it's not the good guys, and stripped off his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim it in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. Why did they burn the bodies? It wasn't because they had been judged by God. It's because they had been hanging in the Judean sun for days. What happens to the body when it's left unburied for days? It reeks, but more than that, it carries disease. And everywhere you take those bodies, you risk spreading disease amongst the people. So they burn the bodies, but not to the point of cremation. They're burning the flesh off the bones. The fire will destroy the bacteria that would spread disease among the people. Then they take the bones. Verse 13, then they took the bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. They were not cremated, but the flesh was burned off the bones instead of laying them in a grave to let the flesh decay, to keep from spreading disease among the people. Yes, Gilbert?
You know why they cut off his head? Because he was a head taller than anybody in Israel. He was the biggest dude in Israel.
He was taller. Whether that's why they cut off his head or not. Remember what David did to Goliath, how David cut off Goliath's head. The Philistines were getting revenge, I think. But, okay.
He picked the head of Goliath to go, because you know where he put it? In the place of a skull. And that's where he should have died.
All right. Here's an ibex. I hate to chase ibex. No, I don't. I love it. Remember the two daughters-in-law of Ruth? I'm sorry, Naomi. Ruth and Orpah. The name Ruth means friend. Orpah means stiff-necked. Ruth stayed with Naomi. Orpah went back to her people in Moab. They say that Ruth is the grandmother of David and Orpah is the grandmother of Goliath. That's what the ancients tell us. True or not? What do? When we get to heaven, we'll watch the videotapes.
Or we'll ask.
Or we'll ask. Next, let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh-Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. So it just reiterates the fact that Saul was not cremated. Mm-hmm. After the flesh was gone, the bones were taken and buried. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to the Lord to Saul, and have buried him. What does David say? It was a kindness to have buried Saul. And now,
David said, he was annoyed about the Lord. I don't care if he put my hand won't bring it down. You know, he wants to kill me. He's gone off. He's still anointed of the Lord. Like I said.
Yeah.
That's how the Lord gave him his life.
That's right. And now, may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay this kindness because you have done this thing. Again, emphasizing a second time the kindness it was to bury the bones of the individuals. Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 9, verse 10. 2 Kings, chapter 9, verse 10. Anybody hear of Ahab and Jezebel? Jezebel liked dogs, but they liked her more. Verse 10. The dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. So God's judgment of Jezebel wasn't that she would be cremated, but she would be eaten by dogs so that she would not be buried, because burial was a blessing and she wasn't going to get one. Let's go next to Job, chapter 34. Job, chapter 34. Job chapter 34 comes right before Psalms. Job 34. I'll tell you the verse when I get there. I'm not there yet. What's that?
How about Korah? He got buried by God.
See, I thought that too.
Yeah. Job chapter 34, verses 14 and 15. Job chapter 34, verses 14 to 15. If he should set his heart on it, who's the he? It's the Lord, of course. If he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. In a cremation, what's left is not dust and it's not ashes. It's bone fragments. Keep that in mind for a moment. That's just a teaser. Go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 79. Psalm 79, verse 3. Psalm 79, verse 3. We'll start in verse 1 for context, because this is a very interesting psalm. It's a psalm of Asaph. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple they have defiled. That word nations is Gentiles. They trampled the courts of the temple. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. The dead bodies of your servants they have given as food for the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. Do you see the pain in the voice of the psalmist? They killed your people, and there was no one to bury them. They didn't get the honor and the blessing of a burial. Oh, absolutely, long before. Yeah, you're absolutely correct there, Gilbert. Let's see. Next, we would go to Jeremiah chapter 14. I'm trying to take us in a logical progression through the scriptures. It's hard for me. I like to jump around. But you probably noticed that, haven't you?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
That's why how ibex go. They jump, right?
That's right. Ibex jump.
Jeremiah where?
Jeremiah chapter 14. Haven't told you yet.
keep us in suspense.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and start in verse 10. Thus says the Lord to his people, thus they have loved to wander, they have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them, because they wouldn't walk in the Lord's way. They wanted to go their own way. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. What kind of prophets are contradicting the Lord? Those are false prophets. The Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem. Because of the famine and the sword, they will have no one to bury them. Is this a judgment of God? Yes, not being buried is a judgment of God here. Them nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness on them. That is God's judgment. They shall not have a burial. Go to Ezekiel 39. Ezekiel 39. That's the second chapter in the Battle of Gog and Magog. I was about to say 38 is the first one, but I think you guys can subtract one from 39. Yeah. Ezekiel 39, verses 11 to 14. This takes place in the day of the Lord, right in the tribulation period. Yes. It will come to pass in that day. What day? Day of the Lord. That I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea. And it will obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore they will call it the valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them, in order to cleanse the land. It's not to bless them, it's to cleanse the land. It says, indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on the day that I'm glorified, says the Lord. They will gain renown for showing the kindness and courtesy to bury the enemy.
What's that? It says, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers.
Gonna stink. You leave a body laying out there unburied for 7 months, it's gonna stink. In fact, after how many days does the body begin to stink?
4 days.
How many days was Messiah in the tomb?
Three.
She
said,
yeah, for Lazarus. She said, wait a minute, Lord, don't raise him. It's been 4 days. He stink. Well, God can take care of the stink. That's right. The psalm said Messiah would not see corruption, which means he could not be in the grave for 4 days. What do you know? God got another one right. So let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Don't worry, we'll come back to the Torah. We haven't read from the Torah yet. Well, not the last of the readings from the Torah anyway. Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. What if you didn't have the money for a funeral? Matthew chapter 27, verse 7. They took the money that Judas Iscariot cast into the temple. And they said, we can't put him back to temple treasury. That's blood money. That might make some stink on us, as if God didn't notice their part. So it says, and they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. They said, we will do something good and beneficial with the money. We will make a charity field, an acheldama, where people can be buried. Verse 8, therefore that field has been called acheldama, the field of blood, to this day. Even that fulfilled prophecy. Look at verse 9. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Yirmiyahu the prophet, saying, and they took 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Let's not argue about which prophet, but it was prophesied. Let's go on to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I'm going to have to look and see which verse. Verse 40. John chapter 19, verse 40. This verse tells you, without even thinking about it, that the Shroud of Turin is false. The Shroud of Turin is one huge sheet, right? What does it say in John chapter 19, verse 40? Then they took the body of Yeshua and bound it in what? Not a sheet of linen, but strips of linen. With the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to what? To bury. So the Shroud of Turin is not strips, it's a whole piece. But how did Peter and John know Messiah was arisen and not the body stolen when they went in? Because the face cloth was folded and sitting by itself. Does the Shroud of Turin cover the face? Yeah, so it wouldn't be a separate face cloth. Yeah, having put spices on the body when they buried it, those outer wrappings, the strips of linen, would have cocooned. So you could see the shape of the body, but there's no head because the face cloth is wrapped. And do you know the significance of it being folded and laying by itself? Every Jewish man has their own way of folding the tallit. They've lived with Messiah for 3.5 years. They know who folded the tallit. Yeah, I am positive that it's separate, because otherwise the whole thing would have been cocooned and it would still look like the body was still laying there. But the face cloth having been removed, folded, laying by itself, they could see there's no body in there.
And they put 100 pounds of
a lot of stuff I read and everything said, how did you get this thing? I mean, you know, it's kind of deep.
Yeah. Okay, let's add another thing. The scripture says his beard was ripped out. In the Shroud of Turin, the beard is full. And the kicker, what's on his eyes? 2 pagan coins to pay the boatman to take him across the river Styx. Do you think for a moment his disciples put pagan coins on his eyes to pay the boatman to take him across the river Styx? Go ahead, Don.
Was this something that they brought from Egypt, this kind of embalming thing, or is that a tradition throughout the Middle East?
It's a tradition throughout the Middle East. Because the body stinks so much, the ointments are sweet ointments to keep the smell down. Okay, let's keep going. Where are we? It's time to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Notice we have not come across any commandment that says, thou shalt not cremate. The scripture never says anything like that. But in Deuteronomy chapter 21, let's begin in verse 22. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he's put to death, and you hang him on a tree, does that bring anybody to mind? Throughout the New Testament, often it says he was hung on a tree. It doesn't say hung on a cross. That's not a mistranslation. The way... How many of you went to the promise? You got this nice, beautiful cross all hewn out by the workmen and great price. That's not what was done in those days. You were nailed to the crossbar, and you carry the crossbar to the place of execution. You're dropped on whatever tree or tree stumps available, and then the feet are nailed into the tree. The crosses in Israel did not look like a T. That's from the Egyptian Ankh. It's a pagan symbol that was adapted by the Catholic Church in the 4th century to... never mind, you know. Okay.
I've been reading Bible every day for about 13 years. I'm not 25. I'm talking about cubits and measurements in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not going to follow that, but I'll close my hand to Los Angeles traffic. I remember this. Psalm 19, the 119, the long one, verse 18. That's only numbers right now.
Okay.
Open thou mine eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. I knew the first time I looked at the first thing. I prayed the prayer. Show me he whose name is called Father. You start reading chapter 25, which is of course 25, 26 and a half of places. You've read every year for 2,500 years.
Yeah.
But you meet, build the table, offer the cup, put four rings on four corners up to each table, lift it up on track. Make a table of sugar, put four rings on four corners, two tables, follow. It's 27, 26. Curtains and couplings kind of lose me a little bit. Then he gets to 27. Make a brazen out. Put four rings and four corners up to it. I'm going to slow this third time I'm hearing this. But explain what happened to you next. I can't. It's as if the top of the band opened up and beans and pieces of confetti floating down in the air. Like, so I think I'm about to get smashed by something. And I can't even explain it. My words are hitting your ears, bombarding your ears right now.
Yeah.
A small still voice in those dimensions, we don't even realize it exists until it happens. But it happens right there.
Yeah.
I heard even so much the Son of Man be that
spirit
that holds on all four corners of the cross. His way, his, my way is in the sanctuary. I am the way. The Bible book is all about me. He had to be lifted up that way.
So
the cross company, all those, they opened it just myself. Two holes in the feet, two holes in the hand, two balls.
All right. So back to Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man, verse 22, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death and he's put to death, you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on that day. So that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. That's why they're hurrying to get Messiah's body down off the tree. He dies at 3. At 6 begins the first day of unleavened bread, which is a Sabbath day. So they have to hurry, get him down, and get him buried before the sun sets.
Okay, the common execution method was stoning.
The common execution of Israel was stoning.
Do they hang him on a tree after they're dead?
No.
Then how does he get hung on a tree here?
Messiah got hung on a tree. It's not just Messiah. Let me explain a little more. How did Judas Iscariot die? What's that? He hanged himself. He fell on a stake and broke open. Which is it? The answer is both. When you think of hanging, you think of the Old West where you've got a gallows and a rope. To be hung was to be impaled on a tree. So when he fell down on the stake and broke open, he was impaling himself on the tree. So he was hung. So it's just two different ways of describing what happened. Yes, Don?
Haman. Is it the same thing with Haman?
Same thing with Haman. Haman made a stake 75 feet tall, intending to run Mordecai through with the stake and having him hang 75 feet high. But Haman instead, everybody go boo. Haman was hung on the stake, and then his 10 sons were hung on it. So they're literally stacked one upon another on this wooden stake 75 feet high. Same thing. All right.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Of course.
Not a question, it's just something he said.
Go ahead.
Was he asking why Christ was crucified instead of stone?
No, he was asking, is this just about Messiah or is this in general? And the answer is in general.
Okay.
Not the only one to ever be hung on a stake. Okay. Okay. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Okay, go ahead, Gilbert.
Another time, I was reading, and I walked into this big warehouse that we opened in the road, and it was quiet. A lot of all of those big stores. I got up to 3:10 to 15 of and Abraham believed God and treated him right. Okay. And then he says, whereby shall I know I shall inherit the land? Take a heifer 3 years old, ram 3 years old.
Yeah.
A child of love, find in the midst.
Yeah, that's Genesis 15. Okay, go ahead.
But the end of that verse says, but the bird divided he not.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. How big is a heifer after 3 years? 1,200 average pounds.
Sure.
600. How big is a ram? 300 pounds.
Sure.
150 pounds. 150 pounds. How much is a total of a young head? Not even a pound. But
right.
The birds divided he not.
Right.
So I asked him, Lord, why didn't he divide the birds? I'm telling you now, I heard a small still voice, his body, because of the theme. Those four words are in that. I'm sure it's too far between two things. Well, I like birds. But he had to come between. Sometimes they made a contract, it means they cut a contract.
Okay.
You cut animals in half. You and
yeah.
If I agree with you about something, you and I pass between the animal and half. Either one of us break this covenant, we be like this.
Then we get split in half just like the animals.
It's a real important thing. So you have to come between the two thieves to enter into a covenant when you're sure. Now, also when you cleanse somebody for leprosy, you kill one bird, drink the blood of the other bird by the tree.
Yeah. All right, we got just another couple of minutes, so let's finish this. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 6.
For the record, I didn't think that up, it just came down.
Understood. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 3. Yep, let me give you a chance to get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 3. And then I'm going to tell you the real problem with cremation. If a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that his days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. So what does the scripture say? One who is cremated or otherwise does not have a proper burial. He says it is such a shame that it says a stillborn child is better than he. Okay, so there is no commandment against cremation, but let me tell you the problem. What do they do with the remains after the cremation? They put them in a jar. They put them in an urn, and most people take them home and put it on the shelf. Remember when Messiah talks about the scribes and Pharisees being like whitewashed caves? When the pilgrims would go from, say, Nazareth up to Jerusalem, and they would always be led by a particular musical instrument, which is called a what? A flute, because the word for flute in Hebrew is chayil. It means the pierced one. The pierced one would lead them up to Jerusalem. It's at the time where there could be rains at any time. If you're on the way up to Jerusalem and the rain starts and you go take cover in a cave till the rain passes, if there are bones in that cave, you are now unclean and you cannot go participate. You can't participate in the Passover. You can't go to the temple. You can't do a sacrifice. You've made yourself unclean because of the dead men's bones. So when you bring that urn of, it's not ash, it's bone fragments, and put it in the house, Now your house is like that cave full of dead men's bones. It's unclean, which makes all the people and everything in it unclean. Do we want to be in a state of uncleanness or do we not? So Teresa made an excellent point. If you have a loved one cremated, don't bring the bone fragments into your house. Bury them. Like they did the bones of Saul. After they burned the flesh off, they buried the bones. Then at least you can say, I have not made my house like a whitewashed cave that on the outside looks clean and beautiful, but on the inside is full of dead men's bones. With that, I'm going to stop the recording. We will close in prayer.